Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, glorify you. How many are glad to be here this morning? Already his presence we felt. Candy was reading that prophecy. The Lord was saying, you're not here by your own choice. You didn't make yourself come. You maybe thought you made yourself come. But we've been praying for you. And you're here because we've been praying. You're all part of an eternal destiny and purpose. And because we're calling a Mockley saved, calling a revival, even these little guys that are coming in here. We've got a whole, I think I'm going to have to start doing a Haitian service here. I may have to start speaking Creole or something like that. Maybe I can pray in tongues and they can interpret it. Jesus said that no man can serve two masters. He said this in Matthew 6. He said, you can't serve two masters, for either you'll hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. And he wasn't talking about specifically himself and Satan, although he's the one that backs this up. He just specifically says you cannot serve God and money. And so a lot of times people think that the people that serve money are the people that are just so in love with it. They're so entrenched with it. They just want more of it, and they live their whole life trying to get more of it. And they serve it by working overtime, and then they won't do this, they won't do that, because they're just so in love with the almighty dollar. But Jesus said this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowl of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. And yet I say unto you that your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought. Everybody say no thought. No thought. You know that word no thought doesn't mean not to think. It means not to worry. So one of the ways that you can serve mammon is this, is it begins to dictate to you what you can and cannot do. One of the things that worry will do to you, it'll dictate the fact of whether or not you believe that God will come at the other end of anything that you do. So he'll only ask you to do what you can do. He'll only ask you at any time to do what you can do, and everything that we know that we're doing here is motivated out of love. But one thing that gives God the ability to get something over to you is that no care, no worry, free from. So whatever you're giving in a sense of, okay, I'm not going to go without, because I know that when I give this, God's speaking in my heart to give it, so there's no worry in it, because I'm not going to take thought. He says this in verse 31, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's why you're here this morning. How many know you're here for that purpose, to get to know him? And all these other things, his righteousness and all these other things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, or for tomorrow. For the tomorrow will take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This morning you get an opportunity to give. But what we want you to do is to give worry free. Hallelujah. We want you to have the ability to know this, that whatever you're giving, your tomorrow is set. Your tomorrow is set. He's got your future involved. Just like he brought you here today, he's got your future on his mind. Why don't you just ask the Lord what he'd have you to give this morning? We'd appreciate that so much. If he's speaking to your heart, just, Father, we thank you that Immokalee is saved. the blind see and the lame walk, all these wonderful things that we've been praying for all these many years. We're believing you for it. And now we're asking you in the name of Jesus to speak to the hearts of your people and everyone in their giving. And we thank you for it this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So there should be an offering envelope. Candy's asked me to ask you to do this. Would you just take a minute and we can worship just a little bit more, but we need to get your email address. Soon in the future, we'll be doing some more teaching letters. Would you give us your email address, even if you think that we have it? We may not. Would you write that on an offering envelope this morning? Even if you're not giving something this morning and you would like to get our monthly teaching letters in the future, they're free. You can afford them, as Gary says. And why don't you, everybody, if you would, write that down right now. Just take just a moment and write your email address. We'll only need one per home. And that way, when our teaching letters come out, you'll be able to get those through the email. And current phone numbers would really be good, if you don't mind. That would really be good for us. Amen. Addresses, do you need to? You can put your address in there if you'd like, but credit card numbers, no, I'm just kidding. All right, when you get all that done, hallelujah. Amen. If you could give us something. Glory. If you have it, you can bring it on down at any time. Why don't we stand together one more time? Together, Rex, would you pray over this? Praise God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, like it was reading this morning, Lord, we just thank you that you are our Father and you're a good Father. And it's so assuring to know that we don't have to worry about things. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. You really, really, really are a good Father. And Lord, we thank you that we can trust in you more and more each day. And Lord, we give out of the abundance of what you've given us, Lord, the abundance of the freedom and the liberty that we have in you, Lord. And I ask you to bless this offering, Father. Have it just everything that's in, Lord. Will it meet all the needs that need to be met here, Lord, and the needs to come in the days ahead, Father. We thank you for all that's coming in. And it's fear-free, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Carl, you've been working with a bunch of these. These are your family or just... Just, I got to put you on a little rope here. 5 minutes. How many believe that's possible? Tell us what you're doing and tell us where you come from.
Haiti.
And what God's doing right now.
Don't start.
So you can share just a little bit about what you were doing, and we haven't had you share since you got back.
I see you put the emphasis on a little bit of the lie, so.
Well, just okay. Go ahead. Enjoy yourself for a little bit.
All right.
We were in Louisiana, Monroe.
Yeah, okay. I'll go over there then. I'm Carl Ellie. I was at the University of Louisiana, Monroe. Played college football and look at Homer. And I went to school there, of course, got an education. Graduated with my bachelor's, and then I graduated with my master's in all in 5 years. And I was up there at school, and the Lord kept telling me to be able to come back to Immokalee. And of course, I didn't want to hear it. I was like, Immokalee, Lord, there's nothing here. You know, I'm at a big city. I'm with Duck Dynasty. You know, I'm having fun, going to the restaurants, hanging out with them, just, you know, just doing a whole lot of different things. And we had a Bible study that, I mean, it was a college campus with thousands of kids and stuff. And all of them were getting born again, saved, praying in tongues. And I mean, I'm like, Lord, we got it going here, you know, for you. So why should I come back to Immokalee? And I kept having like thousands of dreams, and so many. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not coming back. There's no way. There's no way. I'm looking up on the internet like, come on, Immokalee? There's nothing there. All my friends, everyone says there's nothing there in Immokalee. And I'm like, okay, Lord. Finally, once I committed and I said I'm coming back, stop having the dreams. The job opened up down here for me. I bought a condo down over here. Everything else just opened up. And of course, throughout that time, I was training up a lot of kids there and a lot of leaders. And I said, Lord, before I leave, I want to be able to have probably a youth pastor there and raise them up so you can have the heart for the people. And you have to, you know, the things in the church, a lot of people think that, oh, when you go to church, everyone is just good there, you know. But if you go, I always tell them, if you go work out, a lot of people go, you see them at the gym, there's a lot of people out of shape. You know, they need to work that out. So the same thing up in the church. A lot of people have different problems and stuff, and they're coming to be able to work it out. And, you know, just letting them know that, and don't get caught up in the things in the church, because you're going to find a lot of different flaws. And the Lord brought this other guy to me, and Sunday when I'll get off after work, after church, would be just be training up a whole lot of other kids and meeting up with them. Those were hungry and stuff. And overall, we have one that's over there. His name is Jameson. A lot of the kids, they got some of them were upset and mad crying, but they were like, some of them are actually, they was going to come down with me to live down here, getting ready for revival, because that's the biggest thing. Everything that we teach over here was teaching over there. And it was kind of tough because Louisiana's like number one in like Bible Belt, so everyone was religious minded, you know what I mean? So everything was off of love. And now that I came back over here, we had the church, we started an organization called Fire Starters for Christ in Louisiana. And we got something going on here, Alex and I, called Gentlemanhood. And the Gentlemanhood is inspiring young kids to become men and young ladies to know their self-worth as well. And we're going to start, you know, bringing clothes out, evangelizing the streets, those that don't have different clothes. And I've been connecting with a lot of people in different countries to go out over there and to give them clothes and to do a whole lot of different things and spreading the message, of course. And I'm excited that I'm here. I was working out with some of the kids yesterday. And that's a way to be able to, it's not too big about just bringing them all to church. Of course, that is one of the points and for them to be able to grow, but showing them that you love them and showing them that you care for them. And we're just out in the village, and my mom, she still lives there, and I got a condo over there, and I haven't been over there since. I've just been over there just spending time with the kids and just showing them how much that I love them. And of course, that I see what the Lord is doing, because, you know, the kids can be able to see that, okay, you grew up in the same situation as me, your mom growing up in the fields, and I can make it out as well. So that's something that the Lord has, and I don't want them to be able to see like, oh, I have to be like Carl Early, use the same gifts that the Lord bless you with so you can be able to do his work and according to what he called you for and your purpose, you know. So just want to teach them all that. One of the kids, I don't know if you want to raise your hand, he started praying in tongues yesterday. Look, he already put his hands down. And he's the one that, his name Mono over here, he's one of the kids that be bringing a lot of kids in over here as well. So it's awesome. It's fun, and I'm loving it, just running around different streets, going different places, and just bringing in a whole lot of other people. And I know this is kind of pushing it. I'm probably going to need some help. So, you know, I was calling a lot of people, and I was like, man, my car, I have a two-door car. I called my mom. She got her van. Called Harry, he came down from LaBelle, came to pick up some of the kids at the village, and there's going to be more and more, so we're going to need that. And then, the kids are looking for, you know, a place to be able to grow spiritually. And then I told Pastor last week some Bibles, you know, we're trying to go to a Christian store to buy these kids some Bibles, and then I want to go through, you know, with the Born Again Trail with them, but I mix it up, just put a little, you know, our generation inside of it as well. Put a little swag in it, that's what we call it. So, it's cool. I could keep talking all day, y'all, so.
You gave out a lot of Pastor Dave's books over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how big was your Bible study?
Over hundreds of kids there, and
200, you said?
The kids were, if kids are studying, you know, the exams, college kids, they anxiety, I gotta study, and they'll come in, just sit down under his presence, because I'll come in early, worship, and then, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is punching them right, left, Mike Tyson style. So, it was fun, and same thing there, he told me to be able to have here. But the thing is, what inspired me is every single time if I speak, he gives me a vision of what I'm going to speak about. Or if Like here, the thing I'm talking about, what the Lord is about to do here is big. It's big time. I saw even revival. That was so big, like in a vision. All that encouraged me of what he showed me. And I'm like, man, like if I just wanted to be able to impart to everyone what, you know, the things that he'd been showing me. But I'm like, man, and that's why I was so hungry just even now that, you know, while I'm here. So
praise God. Amen. How many of you pray for Carl, his ministry? If he was over there and had a couple hundred in his youth group, something like that, and God said, leave that, come here, it must be something bigger than Walmart coming. Praise God. Must be something bigger than Walmart. Hora maklese. Hatiafro makriste. Nekris diavromba. Ejete. I've ordained a season for you to come into my presence like never before. For all these things, you're more than conquerors through Christ who called you for this purpose. For even from the very womb, many of you have been called for the purpose of coming forward and spending the last of your life in my presence, getting to know me like never before. So know this, I'm equipping you line on line and precept on precept. I'm equipping you for this purpose and this destiny and this call that you have for your future, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. 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 Rote la clase. Bella clase. One of the ways he's saying that he does that, that equipping more than anything else, as he begins to move you in past your weaknesses through a fellowship that you can have with God on a daily basis. That fellowship begins first and foremost through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what he's wanting to do, he's wanting to baptize more of you in the Spirit, give you a place of an utterance where you can talk to him on a daily basis like you never have. One of these guys got filled with the Holy Spirit yesterday. Is that right? Just by a simple laying on of hands. Jesus said this. He said, you'll receive power. You'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In my name, you'll cast out devils. You'll lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. But you'll speak with new tongues. One of the things that he wants to give to some of you this morning, he wants you to know this, that part of the reason why you've been failing in different areas of your life is not because you don't love God. It's because you've not been equipped. You've not allowed yourself to be equipped. So he wants to take you to a place where the Holy Spirit is able to equip you with those utterances and bring you up to a place that he can bring you into what he's saying into this last day outpouring into this revival. So, how many of you would say, I don't speak in tongues, but I'd like to? Anybody? Just for a minute. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. I think he's wanting to change some things here for some people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're here this morning. You don't speak in tongues, but you'd like to speak in tongues. Just lift your hands. You know there's a power. You know there's something. There's one or two. Hallelujah. Okay. Maybe by the end of service, you'll be ready. Hallelujah. Worship you, Father. I glorify you. I glorify you. Well, we'll just wait then, just for a little bit. Turn with me to Luke, just for a little bit. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you sure look pretty this morning. Or hands. Let's talk just a little bit about the way that we can increase our faith. And Homer did an excellent job last week on talking to us about another way of evangelism. It wasn't door-to-door knocking. It was a posture of the heart. And one of the ways that we can increase our faith is not just, you know, the Word says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, meaning I can take this Word, and I can start in any given place, and I can begin to go chapter after chapter, reading it to myself and holding it in regards, great regards. That will begin to build my faith. It'll build my faith. It'll give faith to me. Another way that I can build my faith, Jude 20 says this, building up yourselves, brethren, on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. I can build my faith that way as well. But there's a faith that is increased in a way that Peter asked Christ. He said, Lord, increase our faith. And let's read about it just for a little bit. In chapter 17, in fact, in chapter 16, Jesus begins to talk, and he was already talking earlier, in earlier chapter, but he begins to share on, really he's talking about, specifically about money. He talks in chapter 16, he talks about the unjust steward and how that there was a man that was supposed to be ruling over a rich man's money, and he was found at some point to be not ruling well. In fact, he was taking the money and doing things with it, that he was an unjust steward. So Jesus talked about money in chapter 17 as well. He began to talk about that there was a rich man, and this rich man, that he and Lazarus lived on this planet, and that the rich man, he did not live a righteous life. And as a result of it, he wound up in hell. And Lazarus, which was a beggar that begged at his gate, he was there all those days, and the rich man gave him nothing. The whole thing was, it was the offenses that can take place over money and those kinds of things. But generally speaking, getting to chapter 17, and he was still talking about the same subject, but he said this. Look at verse 1. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. In other words, it's impossible in this life for you not to have run-ins with somebody. It's impossible. Specifically, he was talking about money, but generally, Jesus said this, it is impossible for offenses not to come. But you don't need to be the one who's bringing the offense. But he said this to his disciples, it is better for him, the one that brings the offense, that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. And one of the little ones he was talking about was not little guys. He was talking about anybody that would come in as a new convert into the kingdom of God. And what he was saying was this, is once you have matured and come in and are part of the church, it's impossible that offenses won't come. In other words, the enemy is going to come and he's going to try to bring division and strife to the church. But he's saying, don't you be the one. See, these disciples, Homer and I have been talking about it lately, they weren't yet born again. One of the things that they thought that they had it all right, but they were full of strife. They were full of debate. They were full of all these things. And Jesus said, it's impossible that offenses will come, but don't be the one through whom they come. Why? Because if you have the capacity, in other words, to hurt someone in their walk in Christ and turn them aside from pursuing the Lord, then what he is saying is this. He goes on to say, it's better that a millstone were hanged about your neck. In other words, it's better that somebody tie an anchor around you and throw you off into Lake Trafford with the Gators than that you had the capacity to begin to hurt people to the point to where that they would say, you know what, I don't want nothing else to do with the Lord. I don't want nothing else to do with church. I think I'll just go back into the world, people in the world. How many have ever heard people say, well, people in the world treat you better than people in the church? Sometimes that's a fact, but it doesn't need to be, because Immokalee's in revival. We're going forward. Jesus said, treat it like this, that you, if you thought that there was any capacity, get it out. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against you, he said to his disciples, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he trespasses against thee, just one time? No. In fact, one place it said 70 times 7 in a day. 490 times. Now, somebody said, what does that mean? Endless love. Yes, sir. Having a capacity to say, I forgive you. Yes, I forgive you. Somebody says, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. They go the same. That's the same. Amen. You must forgive and forget. Yes, sir. If it's true forgiveness. Yes, sir. So we're just talking about revival and how to go forward in revival. Yes, sir. So he says here, if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day, he's really kind of just, I think that's multiplying it. Turn again to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto him, they said what? Increase our faith. They didn't say increase our faith when it came to casting out devils. They didn't even say increase our faith when they saw him multiply the loaves and fishes. But one of the things that they knew that was impossible for them, as well as we know that is impossible for us unless the Holy Spirit has the capacity to get in there and do a work inside of us, is for us to get past all of the flesh on a continual basis of having the capacity to hold any offense against anybody. If there's anything that's going to catapult us and launch us into a place of revival, to where that we do see the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear, it's walking free, more free than we've ever known before from strife, more free than we've ever known from offenses. So these are the things that the Holy Spirit is, he's combed through us. He's gone through us before. He's going through us again. He's saying again and again, make sure none of these capacities are inside of you. Well, for us, it's the same thing. We're saying, Lord, increase our faith. How is it? God, what can you do? Okay, somebody said, you know, the pastor taught on love. Love more. Well, wonderful. Yeah, I knew I needed to love more. Somebody tell me how to love more. Somebody tell me how to get past myself. How do I get past myself? How do I get to a place where it doesn't matter? Now, specifically, really going back to the root of this, it was all about money. You know, there's more offenses that take place about money than anything else in this life. And it goes back. Jesus said, the Word says, that the love of it is the root of all evil. But generally speaking, it doesn't matter. Whatever separates you or whatever has the capacity to cause you to be offended or give an offense where somebody turns aside and says, I don't want nothing else to do with the Lord, it's still the same thing. Jesus said this. This is how I'll increase your faith. He said this. In verse 6, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say into this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root. This is the root of bitterness. This is the root of unforgiveness. He's saying you'd have the capacity to do something about it if you had this kind of faith. Be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you having a servant? Now this is how he begins to teach us. He begins to teach us how to begin to think in a capacity that it will increase our faith. Not just increase, I'm not talking about increase our faith for blind eyes. Increase our faith to live in a place free from strife, free from division, free from all these things, which in retrospect will continue to a place where all things are possible with God. He can do anything through us. He can open the blind eyes. He can do these things. Which of you having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, And that word servant is not hired servant. It's not a hireling. It's the word slave. In other words, this guy belongs to this guy, and there's no pay involved. He says this, "Which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, if he will say unto him by and by, when he comes in from the field, go and sit down." Go sit down. He says, "And will he not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup?" He's not going to say to his servant, "You go sit down and I'm going to serve you." That's just not the order of things. That's not the way it should be. He says, "Will he not say rather unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink." Doth he thank that servant? Does the master thank the servant because he's done the things that were commanded him? And he says, Jesus said, "I don't think so." That was exactly what he was supposed to do. See, a lot of times in the church, we're thinking that we're doing something. We're thinking that we're doing something because we choose to forgive. You know, that's just the natural order of things. A lot of times people are testifying, especially in this day and hour of the church world that we live in, people are really feeling good about themselves when they're not living like the world as much as the world does. Did you know when you compare yourself to the world to make yourself feel good, you're already out of order? When you say, "You know what, I'm not lying as much as the church, much as the world does, and you know, I'm not making, I've made some immoral mistakes as a Christian recently, but not doing it as much as the world does it." Listen, do you think God should thank us for that? Do you think He should say, "Wow, you know, good job. You're not living as bad as them, so the standard is"? No. Jesus said, I don't think so. But here we're increasing our faith to know how to live past offenses. And he says this. He says, verse 9 again, "Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him?" He said, "I don't think so. So likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded you," this is what you're to say. This is something else that you're supposed to add to your confession list. He says this, "Say this, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do." Now, when he says unprofitable servants, what he is not saying is this. He's not telling you that you should come to a place where you feel like, "Man, I'm the scumbag of the world. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. Poor, poor, pitiful me. God, I'm nothing, so you can just treat me the way you want." Well, God's only going to treat us one way. That's like sons and daughters. He's just going to love us. But what this is saying here is that guy had the capacity to say, "Look," Jesus said, "you want to know how to get to a place where you can get past offenses? Know this, that just like the servant when he served and he did what he was supposed to do, and he wasn't thanked for doing it, he just did what he was supposed to do, that his disposition, the way that he looked at himself is, look, I'm an unprofitable." That word unprofitable means not for hire. In other words, I'm not in this for myself. This is not about me. You know, the first place that you come to where you begin to realize where you're really profitable for God is when you realize it's not about me. This whole thing, when you can get to the place where God evolves you or takes you to the place where you know that He loves you so much that you begin to realize, "Hey, my whole life's not supposed to be about me." And that's what that unprofitable servant came to the place was. He said that he should say, "My life is not about me. And if it's not about me, then I'm not so self-centered that all the things that come to me, whatever there are, all those things that are supposed to offend me, I can roll them over on God, because my life, whatever my life is, it's a sold-out life to God. It's a sold-out life to God." In the Old Testament, there was a place where a servant that he served and he gave himself. If he really went, the story, we've read it before in the past, if he went bankrupt and he was totally destitute of food or provision or house. He could go and he could sell himself to a rich man. He could sell himself, and that guy became not just his landlord, but he became his master. But after 7 years, he was supposed to be set free. But the word says that in that 7 years, that if he fell in love with his master, that he could go at the end of those 7 years and he could make a pronouncement to him and say this: I came in with wife and children. I came in to serve you for 7 years so you could feed us during a time of famine. But I want you to know this. I want to sell myself to you forever. I want to give myself to you forever. And the Bible says that when that took place, that if the rich man would agree, that they would take that man that wanted to pronounce himself over as an unprofitable servant. In other words, I'm going to serve you, and I'm never ever going to go out and look for hire anyplace else. I'm just going to stay on this farm. I'm going to live here the rest of my life, and I'm going to serve you. That was an unprofitable servant. What would take place is at that point in time that master would take him in the public, and he would take him over, and he would put an auger in his ear, and he would actually pierce his ear, and the piercing of the ear would go all the way through, and he would actually do it at the doorpost of his house where the master lived. And when he put that auger through his ear, through his earlobe, it was a symbol to everybody, this guy is forever sealed in my house. But not only that, he's saying publicly, I did something when I went over and augured my ear. He's saying publicly, I don't want to spend my life for my own profit. I want to spend my life serving you. This is what Jesus was saying. I want you to know that there is a place where you can go past getting to know God. You see, there's God. The Word says we serve God. But you know that God wants you to go past just knowing Him as God. He wants you to get to a place where you know Him as Papa. He wants you to get to know Him in a place where you get to know Him as your daddy. And that's a place where when you do that, then something else happens. You get to heaven by the blood of Jesus. But there's another step. There's a place where you can get to know Him so intimately that you say, Lord, I know it's not. I finally realize it's not all about me. I want to sell out. I want to give you everything. I want to give you my entire life. What happens at that moment in time when you begin to say that and you begin to pronounce that over your life, it's not about me. Basically saying this, I'm an unprofitable servant. What does that mean? It's not about me. It's not about me. When it doesn't get to be about you, and
then the offenses can't stay. So one of the things that you can do when offenses are around is go through your house, go through your day saying, you can either say it's not about me, or if you catch this revelation, say I'm an unprofitable servant. All that I'm doing is not for my life, but it's for yours. It is for your life. And so when all those things come, whatever they come, all of everything that's come to stop you is all for the Word's sake. It's all really, really, in the end, it's all about revival. It's all about getting other people saved. So let's all stand this morning. I'm going to lead you in a confession. Would you say this? I say that Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, and I am unoffendable. I say that I call myself an unprofitable servant. I'm not out for hire. I belong to Jesus. And Him alone. Therefore, I receive for Him a great outpouring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't you just give somebody a great big hug this morning once again, if you've missed that hug. Hallelujah. You're blessed.